The children today, their online world is intricately connected to their offline world. And it's almost one and the same for them. Whereas when we grew up, it was, you know, go outside and play with your friends or go over to a friend's house.
But right.
These kids are doing that. It's just they're doing it from their own homes. And it is just as vital of a relationship to them as it is, you know, when we were growing up, you know, these friendships that they're developing. So it's incumbent upon us to understand that this is going to stick around.
Welcome to the Who You Know Show, where what you know is important, but who you know can make all the difference in your business, career, relationships, and life. Today, I'm super excited. We're sitting down with Wendy Cassidy. She's a Secret Service agent.
Yes.
And we're at the Not On Our Watch Texas event, and you were on the panel up there. Tell us a little bit about your involvement in some of the different programs and initiatives you have for stopping all of this crazy child sex trafficking and sextortion and all this stuff that's going on today.
Okay. Well, I was grateful to be on the panel as a NCMEC ambassador.
Explain NCMEC.
Yeah, NCMEC, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
Okay.
The Secret Service has a longstanding, a 30-year relationship with NCMEC this year, actually, where we support NCMEC in its mission to help find missing children, reduce child exploitation, and prevent child victimization. We do that through various initiatives, such as providing forensic support and investigative support to these types of cases involving missing or exploited children. And we do that through either like a fingerprint analysis or polygraph exams or through age regression and progression sketches.
You talked a little bit about that on the panel today, the age progression or regression, and you explained it as if a child comes up missing, let's say they're, you know, 4 years old or something, and, you know, what would they look like if they were 10 years old or something like that? Because maybe it takes a little bit longer. So you have sketch artists that would show that?
Yes, we have these forensic experts in our Washington, D.C. area with our Forensic Services Division that can offer that expertise.
And I hate to even ask this, but how often is that, like, how often does that come up? Because, I mean, I've heard things about if you don't get the child back within a certain amount of time, they're pretty much gone. Mm. Right. How much truth is to that? And, you know, talk to us about that.
Well, I don't know how much truth there is to that. You know, obviously time is a factor
with
any crime on finding, you know, who did it. But that doesn't mean that you stop or lessen
right.
your efforts, you know, after 24 hours. But the as far as the sketch artist and doing those drawings, the more common method through which Secret Service is requested to assist NCMEC is through like the polygraph examinations.
Okay.
Since we started our relationship with NCMEC in 1994, we have done 8,000 polygraph examinations in
wow.
relation to missing and exploited child cases. The second most common would be the fingerprint analysis.
Okay.
We have experts that do that as well. So those are the two more common ways through which we support forensically.
And so, okay, paint that picture for me. So fingerprint analysis would be like, explain that, where that would come up in a case.
I don't have any specific examples, but it could be a child was seen being taken away in a particular vehicle.
Okay.
And then that vehicle is found down the road somewhere, and there
okay.
may be some fingerprints left on the car.
So got it.
It could be analysis, and then you run those prints through a database to see if they match up. You
know, and with the polygraph, would that be more so if there's someone they think is a... you know, somebody that did it. perpetrator or what have you?
More so, yes. It could be. We have
somebody in custody.
We train agents to be polygraph examiners, and there could be someone in custody or someone that's been identified as a suspect in a case, and they undergo a polygraph examination and see what we can find out through those means.
What do you think that the public, the general public, should know about this?
At this time, I think the online dangers to children are only getting worse right now. I mentioned on the panel that sextortion is what we're commonly seeing, and over the last few years, the number of reports about sextortion have doubled. And it comes down to how much do you know about what your child is doing online, and how often, or do you even have conversations with your children about what they're doing online? The earlier you can start these conversations with the kids and get them comfortable with talking to you, letting them know that you are their trusted adult and that they can come to you if something unusual comes to them in a text, or something, someone says something odd to them in a game or on an app, that you are the one that they can come to. But it requires parents and teachers and guardians to do research. I mean, if you're able to talk to your kid and say, you know, what apps are you most commonly on, or what games do you like to play? You know, the parent should then research that game and research those apps, find out about them, offer to play the game with the child, you know, and just get engaged and get involved with them, because the children today, their online world is intricately connected to their offline world. And it's almost one and the same for them. Whereas when we grew up, it was, you know, go outside and play with your friends or go over to a friend's house.
But right.
These kids are doing that. It's just they're doing it from their own homes. And it is just as vital of a relationship to them as it is, you know, when we were growing up, you know, these friendships that they're developing. So it's incumbent upon us to understand that this is going to stick around, online worlds. And just as much as you guide your children through navigating the offline world, it's incumbent upon you to do that in the online world as well.
I didn't hear anything really talked about this today, but as we go into, you know, Meta and virtual reality, I can only imagine it's going to go into, I guess they call that Web3, right?
Okay.
The three-dimensional web. Do you know anything about that, or heard anything, any initiatives? I would imagine it's, you know, in the VR systems too, not just your phone or your tablet, but in your VR system, I would imagine it's probably there too.
Yeah, it can be, and I admittedly do not know that much about Web3 or what the virtual world is doing, so I can't really speak to that as much as I can to just, I guess, Web 2 and Web 1.
right. Yeah, I just imagine that it's probably a big issue, or if it's not already, it will head that way soon, because it's where the attention is. Wherever the kids are at, that's where these predators want to be.
Right.
You know, and so maybe it's not there yet, or it probably will head there. I think that a lot of people typically think about this issue with children being abducted, right, and not necessarily seeing that there's a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes with the technology. What are some of the first steps a parent should take?
Well, like I mentioned, having a conversation. Start the talks early. Be open and honest with your kids. Make sure they know that they can come and talk to you. But also, you know, look for some red flags. Is your child, are they closing the browser or closing the laptop or shutting their phone down the moment you walk into the room? Are they
deleting history?
Yes,
stuff
things like
that.
Yeah, yeah. Are they getting things in the mail? Like, did they all of a sudden get like gift cards in the mail or a cell phone in the mail? That would be a gift from someone they've met online. Why are they getting these items? Does the child get upset when they're not online? like because they feel they need to constantly be on there and be in communication with someone.
Devices, I tell you what, you take a kid's phone and they're going to freak out like they're on drugs and you just took their drugs away. They're going to just like, they're going to go nuts, right?
Yeah.
So how do we handle that? Because, you know, it's a tough one for parents. I feel for parents in that case, right?
It is. I think it was Elena mentioned it on the panel that, you know, the privacy, and Brandon did too, the privacy is like for, you know, going to the bathroom, you know,
right.
Not necessarily for on your phone. And I understand parents want to, you know, teach their children about privacy and boundaries and things like that. But you're the parent, you're paying for the phone.
Yeah.
And we all know that terrible things can happen, you know, through the phone. So the more involved you are and the more open conversation you have with your children about what they're doing online is only going to help.
I personally don't think that kids should have smartphones or devices at all. I think they should have specific devices for kids. I don't think they should be smart.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should remove. I mean, because the excuse on the parent side is, well, we need to be able to keep in touch with the kid. Okay, cool. Okay, how about an old school, you know, brick phone? You know,
yeah.
You know, that doesn't have to be smart, right?
Yeah.
I think that they should put some regulation on it. I'm not really for a lot of regulation, but I think in this case, I think they should put age limits, personally. Like, you can't drive until you're 16, you can't smoke until you're 18, you can't drink until you're 21, you can't do this, can't do that. The rules for a reason, and it's like, this is a lot of power, and we're seeing how much destruction is coming through this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were talking about on the panel, I don't know the exact stats, but kids, you know, 8-9 years old, addicted to porn.
Mm-hmm.
It's like insane to me thinking about that.
Right. Right. And it is all in how you use it, though. I mean, the same way in how you use a car. It can be used as a weapon or it can be used as a mode of transportation. And that comes back to the parents and the privacy settings.
Mm.
You know, well, once you set the privacy settings, that's not the end of it. You need to keep checking to make sure those privacy settings are in place, or, you know, there are settings you can put where a child can't download any apps onto the phone without a parent's consent.
See, you just got my wheels turning, okay, right now. See, I'm always constantly, I'm looking for solutions, right? Things that could actually help solve the scenario, right? So just like with a car, you know, they got to have a permit.
Mm-hmm.
They got to go to a class. They got to learn, they got to get educated, they got to test drive with the parent, they got to put it, log in so many hours. There's like steps to this thing. Like, they should do the same thing with the phone. They should have classes, you got to go, you got to learn, you know. And in the beginning, it's like super locked down and like, it's like your permit stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, have a program designed where, and the parents have to be involved in it. So many hours where the parents are interacting. They don't get their phone license.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be interesting if that was the case.
Right? Well, why not?
Yeah.
They got it for a car.
Yeah.
You know, I can't smoke a cigarette until I'm 18. Why?
Yeah.
Because it affects my, you know, my health and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and this is too, you know, I think this is impacting people's brain function.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about the Alzheimer's disease and all of that, like it's going to be ramped up because we're so used to start stop with our applications,
right.
It's causing all these other issues with people's brain function.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
anyway,
it can, but again, there's a lot of good brain function in there too, a lot of knowledge that
sure.
You know, kids and adults can learn about, and so it's a balancing act.
It is. It's a balancing act. Well, okay, before we wrap up the show, because you're in the Secret Service, like you've seen it all. You have any crazy stories that you could share with us?
Not that come to mind right away.
No, but, nothing crazy. Come on. I know you got something back in there. She's like, nope, not today.
No.
If you told me, you'd have to kill me.
No. No, it's just better if I just don't tell.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Well, Wendy, thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate you, and thank you for being part of the cause. And anything we can do to support you, just let us know.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the show. It's all about who you know. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Who You Know Show podcast. My name is Trevor Houston, and if you've enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing wherever you listen and leave us a positive review to help us keep the mics on in the studio. Until next week, that's the show. It's all about who you know.